Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Every couple of years, the Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition, a support organization that nurtures and provides support for Oklahoma artists, provides five competitively chosen artists with a year-long fellowship, working alongside a nationally recognized curator to create new, significant work that culminates in an exhibition. Art 365 took place over the past year despite the pandemic as six artists, four individual artists, and two artist collaborators created new work in consultation with curator Grace Devaney, the associate curator of Prospect 5 in New Orleans. You can see the results of their labors beginning this weekend at Living Arts of Tulsa. Edmond-based landscape artist Jenny Bear, mixed media artist Crystal Z. Campbell of Oklahoma City, and Tulsa-based artist Naima Lowe, photographer Morella Martinez of Stillwater, and collaborators, Oklahoma City dancer and movement artist Maggie Boyette of the Shawnee Kiowa Nation, and Norman-based printmaker Marwin Begay of the Navajo Nation, have created five major projects as a part of Art 365, which runs Friday through August 6th at Living Arts. I'm joined by Alexa Gutzinger, the Associate Director of the Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition, along with Grace Devaney, who was the guest curator for Art 365. Alexa and Grace, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us today.
OVAC's Art 365 exhibition picks up. This is a process that where you work intensely with a group of Oklahoma artists. Tell us a little about Arts 365.
Yes. So the Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition has a mission of growing and developing the visual arts community through education, promotion, connection, and funding. And Art 365 is our biggest budget program. And so what that means, it is exactly what it sounds like. It is art for a year, 365 days. And artists submit proposals for a body of work that they want to make. And then our organization works in tandem with the curator. And that curator chooses five projects to receive $12,000 over the course of the year. And then they work together. And although this has been a year unlike any other, we are super excited for the opening. This is the unveiling of those projects at Tulsa's First Friday.
Now, I know from having spoken with OVAC folks in the past, usually this is a very much a hands-on process where the curator is working with them in the studio, looking at their work, critiquing, you know, helping them really create interesting work for this particular exhibition. I would imagine, Grace, for you, it has been very different because probably a lot of this has been happening via electronic media.
Yes, this has happened entirely over video conferencing. So even choosing the artist happened over Zoom. I wasn't able to visit artist studios because Alex and I started working on this in March. And the initial studio visits...
This is March 2020, right?
March 2020.
Right.
And the initial studio visits I did with artists were all remote. I always anticipated viewing their portfolios remotely, but I selected the five artists based entirely on Zoom studio visits.
What do you learn from visiting their studio?
What I love about studio visits is getting, obviously, to see work in progress, getting to see the environment in which an artist works in, and all of the little details that might be influencing their work and the kinds of things that they surround themselves with as they make work. I do think that so much of what I do as a curator can be accomplished via conversation and via the snippets of studios I get to see when someone turns their camera around and kind of shows me. But I definitely missed the experience of actually getting to the kind of physicality of seeing the spaces in which the artists are working.
Well, I think when you actually see the studio, you can see the things that they think are what is working and maybe something they're experimenting with that maybe isn't working or they think it's not working. And a new set of eyes can offer a lot of insight.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, Rich, you just made a really great point about the absence of being involved in the editing process a bit. I hadn't thought about it that way, but definitely sometimes when you're in an artist studio, you look in a corner and you see something that they might have overlooked and you can be like, wait, hey, actually, maybe you should think about bringing that in. I do feel like the artists that I worked with on the project were very generous with their time and with working through ideas with me. And a lot of their projects are rooted in some kind of conceptual things that they were exploring. So we were able to do a lot of that through conversation, but there definitely was that absence of the unexpected kind of physical encounter.
You know, Alexa, I would imagine these artists, this whole year process. It's been very different this time, but can you give us a sense of where artists come into this year-long residency and where they leave? What sort of progress, what sort of change in their art making shows up over the course of a year when they work intensely with a curator?
Well, I think that they're able to take risks. And this year, again, we've been experiencing a pandemic together. And so a lot of that kind of comes through. One person changed their project multiple times because they weren't able to do what they originally proposed due to, you know, constraints of where we were. And that was okay. And Grace has been fabulous. She has done above and beyond the curatorial duties of the contract, and she has actually made extra studio Zoom visits with these artists to help them and to edit things with them and to be there for them. And so I'm just so glad that we have had this group of artists in particular and our amazing curator that's here today.
Now, I guess it's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
projects.
Projects.
And six artists.
Six artists,
yes,
right.
There's one duo.
Now, how many applied for this?
We actually had a record number of applications. We had 79 applicants.
Wow, so you looked at all 79?
Yeah, yeah.
So what were you looking for when you helped choose these artists?
Well, initially I look at the images artists submit as a part of their portfolio to see past works. And something that I loved about this program that OVAC does is that it was about artists trying something new, having both the time and the financial resources to do something that was maybe out of their traditional practice. So for me, part of the process of reviewing applications was seeing past work and then reading proposals about what each of these artists imagined being able to bring into the world in that year's time. So ultimately, the five projects I chose were people who had very strong backgrounds and histories of making, but then had ambitious ideas about how to move that forward. So I think it's the combination of the two.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here and would think that over this last 18 months, 16 to 17 months, for artists, this has been a time, well, one of great trepidation and just unknown about, you know, making a living through art during this last year and a half. But it's also probably been a time, because you don't have exhibitions and things like that, this has probably been a time where you are able to internalize and think about what you're doing, what you want to do, changes in your art making practice.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I think that you've kind of pinpointed two of the things that shifted. Both the interiority of some of the artists changed and their perspectives on the world obviously changed over the course of this year, as most of ours did. And so in some instances, such as Ginny Bear's work, her paintings really transformed over the course of the year. You know, she's somebody who works on wood panel and has a primary medium and approach she takes to paintings. But that said, the paintings she made this year look entirely different than the ones she submitted in a really exciting way. And, you know, she's been quite candid about the emotional toll that the uncertainty of this year, both with COVID and with the conversations and uprisings around police brutality and racism, have taken both on her communities and, you know, internally for her. So the paintings were really a place for her to process this year, to think through questions by way of landscape. So just to backtrack a little bit, she's a landscape painter, but the scenes that she's painted and the way she's approaching them have totally shifted based on this year.
I was just going to say, I've seen some of her work from the past, and it is landscape work, but it's almost otherworldly because she's using color in a very different way than you would experience it in nature.
Exactly.
So it is really interesting work in and of itself. But how has it changed over this last year? Is it still landscape?
It's still landscape. The project she created for OVAC is called Silver Valley. And I would describe them as imagined landscape. Something she and I have talked about was the limitations around her ability to get out and see nature and see different kinds of terrains. So part of this project came from places dreamed for or longed for. The paintings have this quality of the way you might remember a trip to a national park or some other place far away. So I think there's definitely more abstraction and a kind of different rhythm to how she's painting, and also a lot of glitter, which I think is kind of a mood lifter and something that she kind of relies on in making these paintings, both to bring a sense of joy and magic and nostalgia to them.
Well, you touched on something that I came away from looking at some of her early work, a dreamlike quality to them, because the colors palette is so different. It's almost like you're seeing it in a dream, and it's not real. It's imagined in her old work, but it sounds like she's had some breakthroughs over the course of this year.
I would say so. Yeah, I think that dreamy aspect of it really comes through in these new works. And as you'll see when you go into the gallery, we've installed her work in a little nook of its own. So you kind of get transported to Silver Valley, which is the title of the project.
My guest today is Grace Devaney. She's Associate Curator of Prospect 5 in New Orleans and the guest curator for OVAC's Art 365 exhibition. She's here along with Alexa Gutzinger, who's the Associate Director of the Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition, which does tremendous work in helping Oklahoma artists grow. And this OVAC Art 365, it's an intense residency with a curator for 5 artists usually. Actually, it's this year, it's 6 artists who will be presenting their work beginning Friday at 6:00 at Living Arts of Tulsa, and it will run through August 6th. And it's a great residency for artists to grow and to have some support while they do that, which is a big part of what OVAC does. When you saw when OVAC saw the artists that were chosen, what was the thoughts of the coalition as far as the difference? Because it looks like there are really very different artists for all 5 artists.
Yes. Well, as the administrator for this project and this program, I was really excited because one of the artists she chose was my college mentor, Marwin Begay. And so now instead of him making sure, you know, my projects were done, it's a totally new turn of the tables. And so it's been really fun to see how that's come full circle in my personal career, too. But the artists that she chose all seem to have not necessarily cohesive bodies of work, but maybe similar themes that they're working with. And so it was just so interesting to watch Grace's curatorial process. And I was so excited to work with the artists that she chose, because being an administrator here in Oklahoma, you kind of get to know the artists that are here. And that's one of the reasons OVAC always does choose a curator from out of state, so that there are no biases or there's no conflict of interest.
Right.
And so that it's just been amazing and interesting that she's chosen artists that have been in other OVAC programs. I worked with Naima Lowe as a focus artist for concept, and she was chosen again for Art 365. So,
and one of the interesting things about the artists is some of these are pretty familiar to Tulsa audience. Mm-hmm. Others will be not so familiar. Yeah. And I was going to talk about Crystal Z. Campbell, who has been showing a lot in Tulsa. In fact, there's work at Philbrook Museum, and that's a very interesting work. But when I was looking at some of her other work, it really runs a gamut from A to Z, installations. And so what has she prepared for this particular show?
Yeah, I'm so excited to say that for this show, I think Crystal has prepared something that's a little bit different than what's on view as a part of the Limitations of Now at Philbrook, and also what's been on view at AHA. So for this show, Crystal has created a project called High, High, High Highway, which is centered on a performance-based video work that has performers doing what she's called playing the highway. So they're using various devices to make a sonic scape of the highway that runs through Greenwood. So in contrast to some of her work that has focused specifically on the history and legacy of the Tulsa Race Massacre, this project is actually looking at the results of the Highway Act and the creating of this roadway running through that community.
I-244, the Interstate Highway Act,
yes,
is what you're talking about, and the fact that it went right smack through the heart of the business district of Greenwood.
Exactly. So this project is thinking through that legacy, and it'll include a video and a series of banners that are engaging with some really incredible op art effects. And I think that the installation overall is going to be disorienting in a way that is going to feel exciting and curious. But something that I love about Crystal's work is that she is implicating the viewer's body and sense of space and orientation in order to disrupt the commonality of highways. You know, she wants us to think through how it ended up that the highway went through that neighborhood, why, and moving forward, how we can think through creating space in ways that is equitable.
Yeah, it's interesting you said she creates this aural soundtrack. When you are in the Greenwood District or anywhere very near 244, it is almost this overwhelming aural sense that you hear, where this roadway, which has so much traffic on it, it just dominates everything around it.
Yeah. And I think she's creating something that's in conversation with that sense of disruption. The qualities of the video are a bit eerie, but also bringing that kind of sense of noise into the gallery space in a way that I think is going to be really kind of a revelation for visitors.
And I know she does use a lot of lighting effects, and she's done projects and installations surrounding just lighting effects. So I assume it has a lot of technology involved with this.
It's actually pretty simple technology, Something that I love about what she's doing is that by using the medium of film and a projector, it's the creation of both moving image, but also reckoning with that as a source of light. So the way that we have positioned the video is going to create a kind of unconventional use of light and moving image in the space. It won't be just your traditional video right onto a projector. There'll be a little bit of an unexpected visual situation that's happening in the gallery.
Another artist involved will be Naima Lowe, whose works in Tulsa. Now, her work has been installation work, it looks like, for the most part, and it's very political. It's very surrounding identity and post-racial identity and racial identity. What is she doing for this particular show?
So I would say Naima is one of the artists whose projects changed the most over the course of this year on account of constraints she had with working with her collaborators. So at the beginning of the year, her plan was always to make a sound-based work with her father, Bill Lowe, who's a jazz musician, and Taylor Ho Bynum, another musician that is a frequent collaborator of theirs. But realizing that they weren't going to be able to be in the same space changed plans for her, and then also kind of circumstances in her life changed such that her primary form of work shifted to thinking really closely about capitalism and survival and how to make a life for yourself in the face of constraints around your freedom, and particularly how to do that as a Black woman. So Naima's project, I think, is a testament to what's come out on the other side of a year of thinking through these questions that obviously can't be answered in just one year. But her project is called A Token is a Stand-in for Something of Value. And it's using materials to consider monetary value, also the value we place on our own time and how we spend time through a really close focus on how Naima has spent the last year. And luckily, there ended up being a really beautiful collaboration between her, Bill, and Taylor that they were able to do remotely that has resulted in an incredible sound-based work that you'll be able to hear on headphones in the gallery. I heard it for the first time yesterday, and it moved me to tears. So I'm really excited for people to experience that.
And from what it sounds like, Naima is one of these artists that works in so many different disciplines. I mean, it could be installation, it could be a written word, it can be music, it can be all sorts of things that she works with. And usually when she creates a project, it involves all of those elements.
Absolutely. And this is no exception. There's an incredible installation called Sum Total that you just got to see it. It's really, really special. And then the sound work that incorporates her writing about 97 days over the course of her life during COVID and has this kind of other sonic element. So yeah, she's bringing all of those things to the table. I'm so excited for that one.
Well, this is just a small part of OVAC's Art 365 exhibition, which opens Friday at 6 o'clock at Living Arts of Tulsa, running through August 6th. My guests today are Alexa Gutzinger, the Associate Director of Oklahoma's Visual Arts Coalition, and Grace Devaney, Associate Curator of Prospect 5 in New Orleans, who is the guest curator working with the artists over the course of a year. Another artist, which this is interesting because it's a photographer, and usually when I think of, you know, obviously photography is an art, but it's also one in which really it's that photographer's eye that is really there, and it's, you know, you have to see it for what it is. In the case of Mirella Martinez, she's done some very interesting work, still lifes, some on the open road, others involving watching the process of decay, still lifes, very interesting work. What is she doing for the OVAC?
So for OAVAC, she's created a project called Pain that is focused on Mexican-American community in Payne County. And this was the project that she proposed for the show initially. But I think that her perspective and how she's been photographing shifted a bit with COVID. The plan had always been to photograph events and people and community. But then I think this year sort of changed what that looked like. That's still really a core of the project. But Rhea has such an incredible eye as a photographer for details and kind of covert shots. And I imagine that when she's working, she's able to be one of those photographers who's there capturing intimate details, but also kind of recedes and is able to let people kind of shine and do their thing comfortably. So the work that she has put together is photography based, but I would say that it's really just an incredible installation. She's showing her photographs on two different substrates. So some of them are vinyl that's adhered directly to the wall. Some of them are mounted. And the photographs are also a mix of landscapes from Oklahoma. And then, as I was describing, these kind of intimate shots of people going about various activities, whether it's birthday celebrations, weddings, different kinds of events, as well as the food that people enjoy at these events. So it's kind of a host of things related to community in Oklahoma. And it's work that I think in kind of an unexpected way connects up with projects like Ginny and Crystal, and even Naima and Marwan and Maggie's. All the projects end up connecting in these unexpected ways. But something that Mireya's really brings out is this interest in land and landscape and how people live in the kind of landscapes and communities of Oklahoma.
When you think of a photographer who has to be out there, that you could see the impact from COVID, although I have to say Oklahoma is a state where the lockdown was pretty short for the most part, but obviously it had to affect how she approached this project.
Yes, I think so. And something that she's talked about is the level of access that she had being different because of COVID. So, I think under normal circumstances, having another guest or another person photographing an event would be kind of an easy thing to facilitate. But I think that she ran into some difficulties. Also, just kind of being respectful of the boundaries of an event, I think, became something we're all much more aware of. So I think that's something that's affected.
And if you're talking about getting intimate photographs in a community or in a home or an intimate setting, that becomes, just because of the fact the photographer's wearing a mask, it sort of injects yourself into the scene. It makes it very difficult.
Right, absolutely. And I think that something that even that aspect of the project brings out is that, yes, this is a project that's about Mireya's community, but also I think allows us to see the complex nature of community that, just because you're a part of something, there's still details to navigate, there's still differences, there's still complexities within community. So I think bringing a complex sense of that is something that her project does really well.
The last artists are two artists working together in a collaboration. That's Maggie Boyette and Marwan Begay. They're printmakers, right?
Marwan is a printmaker.
Okay.
Maggie's actually a dance and movement-based artist.
Okay.
So their proposal is one that I had never heard of anything like it when they presented it. And I was so excited to see it realized. Their project, again, I think has shifted a bit in similar ways to what I was describing with Mireya's project, in that some of the more communal aspects of what they had planned in terms of gathering stories to base the print work on shifted a bit. But their collaboration consists of Marwan making prints that explore their identity as indigenous people who live in urban centers in Oklahoma, and Maggie creating a dance that is exploring similar issues and bringing in ways of creating movement based on chance and using Shawnee dice and other game techniques to create a set of movements that she will then do on top of one of Marwan's woodblock prints. So just this, what I loved about this project is obviously there's a kind of physicality to printmaking, but to introduce dance into that.
That's a whole other level of physicality.
Whole other level, exactly. And then to see what kind of printmaking and impressions are possible through the movements of a dance, and using that to think through things related to the body being multiply situated between an indigenous identity and an urban one, and then also thinking about these issues as they relate to land acknowledgments, which, you know, something that Maggie Martin and I talked about a lot is how land acknowledgments are becoming very common, but they were wanting to get at the root of what a land acknowledgement would mean for them and for thinking through various indigenous cultures in a way that is integrating them, but also recognizing the distinctions between various peoples.
For those that don't know land acknowledgement, you'll often hear this said, it's like, it's no longer Oklahoma. We're sitting on land that belonged to, at one point, before it belonged to the Cherokee, it belonged to another tribe. This is Cherokee land, or this is Muskogee land. And it's that sort of acknowledgement is what you're talking about, right?
Yes, yes. Acknowledging that the states and the cities that we now call by the names they were given were places that were occupied by others before us. And I think that land acknowledgements are obviously a great step forward in recognizing history. And I think that Maggie and Marwin are going to offer a different light on what that could look like from their perspective in a way that I think is really incredible.
And what's also great about this, Alexa, is the ability for the artist and our curator to discuss this fully at length in a series of workshops, correct?
Yes. So each artist will be holding a public workshop throughout the course of the exhibition. And so what that looks like is that they get to choose, and actually it was a part of their proposal. They had to propose what a public workshop would look like for their particular projects. So Grace got to look at those at the very beginning as well.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yes. Which actually we had 101 applications. So you looked at even more than I thought. I had to look that up.
Wow. And yes. They're sort of getting an inside look at their thought making in the course of the process.
Yes. So these workshops will give a closer view for the participants. And it's also free to sign up for anyone who wants to attend. These participants will get to actually communicate with the artist about their project and work through something that the artist has prepared for them. So in Jenny Beer's case, who is a landscape painter, she's going to be talking and leading a contour drawing class that is also meditation based. So that is going to be the first workshop that we'll host on July the 10th. And so all of these workshops can be found through our website, art365.org, and people can sign up for each individual artist's workshop. The only one that is different will be Crystal Z. Campbell's. Hers is going to be a panel discussion that's going to be hosted on Zoom. And actually that will be between Crystal, Naima, and our fabulous curator, Grace.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing that results and seeing the exhibit, which opens Friday. Grace and Alexa, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It's been fun.
Alexa Gutzinger is the Associate Director of the Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition, along with Grace Devaney, the Associate Curator of Prospect 5 in New Orleans, who is the guest curator for OVAC's Art 365. The exhibition, featuring six artists and five major projects, gets underway this Friday at 6 o'clock at Living Arts of Tulsa, and it runs through August 6th. Information at art365.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.